Alright, welcome members. You're listening to the Kraz Files podcast with Adam. It's Tuesday night here in Sydney, Australia, the 7th of January 2020. Unbelievable. Plugging in just quickly to go over the latest and look at what's happening with these insane fires in this country, the attack that we're under, and just to cover it as best I can. But great to have you on board. Hello to the new members. Hope you're enjoying the website and the podcast. Contact me through there anytime, the website, anytime you want. And there's a chat room in there if you want to engage in there and leave any links as well. So great to have you on board. We're getting ready to rumble now. So much to pour over, as always. So much to go through. I can't go through it all. I've got so many links and so much information, it's hurting my brain. But just here on the ground, trying to follow everything that's happening on a daily basis. The lies, the media manipulation is very important now. To keep covering this, and the so-called politicians, the greed, this nonsense and ridiculous propaganda about climate change and everything that's going on in this country. It's just so saturating and overwhelming, and it would be absolutely confusing for people, and confusing for people overseas as well, who would be thinking, what the hell's going on in that country? You know, you've got these terrible fires. But also all of this madness going on as well, which is pretty crazy. But it's just too much for me, so I just got to incrementally, in incremental doses, just pour over this and offer it out in podcasts as I try piece all this together. Still incredible fires going on in this country, absolutely unbelievable. Just the scope of these fires, the amount of land that's been burned, is absolutely phenomenal. There's a lot of disinformation out there as well, with showing maps of Australia being burned, how much it actually is, and all of this. So there's, as I said, a lot of disinfo out there in regards to the fires, the media around the world blowing things up, and all of this. So it's just crazy. There's like this blame game now. You've got Piers Morgan over there on these morning shows attacking these bozos for the Australian government and pushing climate change. It's really unbelievable. And this morning I just caught a sneaky little rat, Mr. Anthony Albanese. He's the Labour leader. This guy's a real clown, he's a real joke. And I grew up in this country, so I grew up sort of watching these political clowns stumbling through their scenes for many years. And you would never think years ago that this guy was going to be the Labour leader, you know. He's a real idiot. And so he's now, he's the opposition leader. And the ScoMo, Scott Morrison, our current Prime Minister, is the punching bag. He's being blamed for everything, and the fires are not acting, and that's his job. He was put up there to take a fall for this, so he'll be gone soon. I'm predicting an early election, or they're going to call another one to try and swap him, and then Labour are going to come in and seize power, and the Australian people are all going to rock up, as I said, to the federal elections. Maybe they'll have early ones. I don't know what's going to happen, but watch this space, and they're going to vote in this new Labour guy, Vince Albanese, and he's the big climate change man. Caught him a few times. He's doing the rounds all over the radio stations and the TV channels and all of this. I saw him this morning on a ridiculous TV show called Studio 10. In Australia, it defies belief how anyone watches this stuff, but the Channel 10 network, you know, have big funders, and they've got enough money to keep propping these shows up anyway, so they don't care. It's full of these mongrels, you know, these terrible people who are just out of date and not wanted in TV world anymore, so they kind of shoot them down the poo pipes into Studio 10. And, you know, there's just these ridiculous morons on this morning breakfast show that seems to go all morning anyway. Was on there pushing climate change to his buddies and all of this, and he's on the radio airways pushing climate change as well. So You can see where we're going here, right? And I mentioned this in how many shows previous that I've done, that the new Labour leaders are going to get in and they're going to have this big climate change push in this country. So I got a little bit of a bit here of Vince Albanese copping it a little bit on the breakfast show here, but have a listen to this anyway.
A lot of people in these areas are frustrated with all this talk about climate change. They're saying climate change has got nothing to do with this. Climate change is something that can be addressed by politicians into the future. What needs to be addressed is the land clearing, the fuel on the ground. That's what's fueling these fires. So if you're saying that climate change is one of the reasons why these bushfires are here today, and the residents are saying it's not, who do we believe and who's right?
How about we listen to the scientists and the experts? There's none of the people I've met in the Rural Fire Service in senior positions anywhere around New South Wales, Victoria, South Australia.
Can you give us some names?
That over a period of time, the less rainfall, the less drought, the drought, the dryness of the land
has had an impact. Drought, the dryness?
They all say it.
That makes sense.
But fires, hot weather and winds at this time of the year are nothing new for Australia. We've had it for thousands and thousands of years.
Mate, this is new. This is new.
What, fires and hot weather at summer is new?
Look, Mark, there has never, the head of Katoomba Rural Fire Service, who has 40 years service, has said to me, for example, that there has never been a time whereby those communities along the escarpment there in the Blue Mountains have faced fires from the north and the south at the same time.
And the reason because for they that were is deliberate, some deliberately of the fuel that's on the ground have nothing to do with climate change.
Why is the fuel on the ground? Why is it so
because
dry?
Because we're not getting rid of
why
it.
Why is it so dry?
We're not getting rid of it. We keep putting up these brick walls for landowners that
so
can't
dry?
Clear their land.
Mark, the fact is that the scientists and all of we two, have not, this is not business as usual. There are parts of tropical rainforests that have never been the subject
You're
of
a bullshit
fires
artist,
that have burnt during this period. There has never been a time in Australian history that you have had so many fires, which are so intense, burning across so many areas at the
because
same time.
Because they were deliberately
time.
Started,
This
Vince.
Is not business as usual. The fact is that Canberra had its hottest day on record over the weekend. Sydney, of course, almost hit 50 degrees. Have a look at what has happened. The facts is what we need to look at. And the fact is
we've
that
had 50 degree
already
days
the
in
decade
the old days,
that we've
Vince.
Just had is hotter than the previous decade, which is hotter than the previous decade. That's just
That's
a
bullshit.
Fact. And we
this
need to get away from... I'm not ideological about this. And at no stage during this crisis have I said, now let's just have an academic debate and stop dealing with the immediate concerns. My concerns has been to act immediately
You're
on what we need to
wanker.
Do to protect lives,
That's
to protect properties.
Bullshit.
But at the same time, we
this
can't put our head
give
in the
a
sand
shit about life.
And pretend that climate change is not having an impact. Because if we do, we won't have the right analysis.
A lot of
so
people
this is
in these
your,
areas.
Next prime minister, folks. Is this the guy that you want to vote in for your next prime minister? I mean, they're all actors anyway. But this guy is the biggest clown, the biggest jerk, the biggest mongrel, lying scumbag I've ever seen in my life. This guy is a pathetic joke, and really, it is. It's just all a sad state of affairs in this country. What do? We're an experiment. Help us. I don't know what to do in this country. It's just, it's like this really, really bad soap opera that's just been going for too long and everybody's just sick of it. It's really, really scary, but you can see there, this guy has absolutely no clue what he's talking about. He's pushing the whole climate change message. And you know, I have to say the radio announcer there has some good points on target, and this guy won't answer to it. And it's because of all this, Australia's a nanny state, and they've locked up all these massive tracts of land and national forests and national parks, and you've just got all this mess in there. And eucalypt forests are, you know, they just explode, they do, with the oils in there. It's highly volatile, and you've got national parks here that just haven't been properly managed because of the Greens in this country. It's true, because of the Australian Greens. As I said, I know people, my parents have property, and you can't even take a pee on your property anymore without getting permission. And I talked about that in a previous podcast, how these councils have become like mini dictatorships, and the Greens, they won't let anybody do anything. anything, and they've mismanaged and they've let these huge forests and national parks go for too long, and you do get these kinds of disasters, which is unbelievable. So I think I have another clip. I hate Facebook because it keeps giving me all these messages, but this is an interesting one. That was sent to me on Facebook about a guy talking about this very same thing, about how there's mismanagement going on and how volatile these parks are. But it says here, Chris Dynan, and I'll just play this anyway.
There, everybody. So anyway, look, I know a lot of you guys like to see my videos from time to time, so I just thought I'd do a little bit of a different sort of video. This video, something I've been sort of thinking about for a little while, especially mainly over this last week or so with the massive fires that are happening up north in New South Wales and in Queensland. But there's a reason for that. You know, a lot of people say climate change. That's bullshit. Climate change is the biggest farce going around. I'm going to show you just what the problem is firsthand, so you guys understand just why these forests and bushland does what it does when it does catch fire. So I'm going to give you a good look here now and explain some things to you. So as you can see, I'm just walking in here to the bush, all right? And you can see all the way, thick scrub. But have a look at the vegetation that's developed ground level. You know, this is a metre, higher than a metre high, you know? All these dropped timbers and things like that, that's all fuel, okay? Now, years and years ago, and I've been coming up here for a long time. So this is the area where I live. A lot of people live here. So do in other states. But just have a look here at the vegetation. You can't even walk through here. Honestly, you used to be able to once just go for walks through the bush, okay? Now, with the way that the things are, and it's only because of certain people, mainly, well, I'm going to say it, the Greens. The Greens pushed really hard for our management of our bushland.
We can just see here how scared, almost, or not scared, but how worried people are about blaming the Australian Greens for something. They're a bunch of mongrels, okay? They're a bunch of mongrels. We don't need them. They're absolutely pathetic, and it's their fault as well. And we need to kick them out and get rid of them. We don't need them. Why are they a political party anyway? The leader of the Greens is a drongo. Richard Di Natale is an absolute... He's a ridiculous jerk, and he gets up there, he pushes GMOs, he pushes vaccines on our families. The guy's just a mongrel getting, you know, he polishes seats with his ass, and he gets paid for it. They're a joke. So you can say it, mate, don't worry about it. The Australian Greens are a joke, and they have to be put into the bucket here for blame. For the mismanagement and stopping, as I said, I know people who live on properties, and they stop them from clearing their own properties. I've read that I've spoken about that on other podcasts. They do. They make it really hard. You know, unbelievable.
To stop burn-offs, planned burn-offs, making fire breaks in bad areas, even farmers and graziers, from allowing them to graze their cattle and sheep and stock through the bushland to keep this vegetation down to a manageable level. It's not happening. And in another few weeks, when we do start seeing some warmer weather, this is all going to dry out. And as you can see, the trees are black already. There was a fire through here about 8 and 10 years ago. So this bush does burn, but you can just see it just comes back, okay? Now, without the right management, that's what happens. All this fuel, which will dry out, it's already starting to dry out in certain places, it's going to be an absolute massive fire, okay? Now, you can't blame our management that manages these places because they're governed by legislation and rules and regulations that famous Greens have pushed pretty hard
was done before
to,
fires,
to put into place
in Australia,
to protect, so call it, all these creatures that live
it
in the bush.
Does. I know people can't
well,
see this.
Unfortunately, all those creatures that you were protecting up in New South Wales, that's it. They're gone. They're burnt. They're a crisp. Now, the other thing I'm going to show you, let's have a look at what they've done. They've restricted access for people like you and me to come out and enjoy the bush like we used to.
Mm.
So what have they done? They've put these gates up, okay? Now, these gates on all the fire tracks up here. So any track that goes into the bush, there's a gate. Now, I'll just show you. It's locked,
Okay? Now, if there's a fire and a fire truck needs to get down that track, he's got no hope. He can't drive around it because then they put these bollards in, so you can't drive around.
We've heard this before, folks. So you've got to go through the tracks, gate, through the national parks and forest areas.
They're going to pull up
areas,
here, grab their buckets, and they're going to walk into that bush and try and put the fire out.
So you need to go, and the firefighters need to get into these areas and fire them. They can't get in. So they've locked them off, so you can't go in. This is what they're doing. It's criminal behaviour, and
why these bushfires are so bad now. People are saying they're so bad now because of climate change.
They're setting this up.
Well, that's bullshit. They're so bad now because our Greens have pushed so hard that we don't touch it or manage it correctly. And then when it does burn, it burns. Properties are lost. Lives are lost. When will they learn? You know, it's about time that we all make some sort of stance. Now, we all got big voices. I'm one included. But it's time now for action. Now, let's see. The only way we can get things to happen is all unite. So, look, I don't know how to make a video go viral, but let's have a crack at sending this video viral just to show.
I don't know if that's going to happen, Chris. Good video, good on you, mate. But I don't know if that's going to actually happen in this country. I just don't know we're ready for it. I don't know if we're ready to get up and take our country back and take it back from this swine, this disgusting, shallow swine who call themselves politicians, who have corrupted, who have infected, who have possessed this country of Australia and just running it for their masters. As I said before, we're just a corporation. We're just being used, and it's really disgusting. But this mismanagement of these places is done on purpose, I think. And I think it all leads up to the perfect storm for me. There's so many weird things going on in this country leading up to these fires and even right now, and they just seem to know about it. And the media have been leading everybody through, and the wording, as we were talking about with Robert, they're using all this wording like it's all been planned. It's a planned burning of this country, and I think it's been done to make an example of us to bring in climate change. What else could it be, folks? There's other things at play with minerals and fast rail and everything, but I think they just said, look, just burn it, let it build up until it's going to explode, let it explode, create the perfect storm, set more fires, create these super fires, just burn everything out, and then you will bring in global warming change, rules, regulations, legislation, as they have the meetings, what I was talking about on the last podcast, and draw all these plans up for to change this country forever, and everybody else is going to be under this too. But terrible mismanagement of our forests, national parks, all these areas. They just lock everything up. They have all these restrictions. It's just so much red tape and bureaucracy and ridiculous behavior going on, and these forests are being mismanaged, and it's really sad to see. So a disaster in these forests as well waiting to happen, very, very volatile. Indeed, you know, in regards to looking at directed energy weapons and this kind of things, I'm not sure about that. I would just sort of look more at this as just a volatile situation. This has been building for a long time. And you've got, as he said, like a meter of this dry stuff on the ground. You've got eucalypt forest, very dry, and then it just explodes. In regards to what he was talking about, looking at the regeneration of the bush as well, which is quite interesting in this country. It's a very unique country, Australia, indeed, for those who are listening overseas. It's pretty amazing. just looking at Australia's eucalypt forests and looking at the Blue Mountains area, you would have the Wollamai National Park. Maybe people know about the Wollamai pine, this prehistoric pine that was found. The place is like the Wollamai National Park is like a museum. World Heritage National Parks, the biggest, I think, in New South Wales, about 500,000 hectares, about 500,000 or a bit more, around about that, from what I looked at, has been burned around the Blue Mountains. Most of it, eucalyptus forests, so these kind of gum trees known as eucalyptus trees, these are like fantastically fast-growing trees and great colonizers. And great competitors as well. So eucalyptus typically let through a lot of light, allowing other vegetation types such as scrub and grass to grow beneath them. They can live for maybe 700 years. They're just huge, some of these things. So magnificent forests across Australia. But they won't regenerate. So this is just some information I'm going through. It's what is growing beneath them over the years become too dense. Most eucalypt species, therefore, there are more than 600 in Australia, between 30 and 40 in Tasmania. So a magnificent place down there, have evolved traits that allow them to survive and prosper in the fires that will clear the undergrowth, which is what's going on. And so some, like the mighty 100 meter tall eucalyptus regnans, also known as the mountain ash. I think I mentioned that in podcast. The mountain ash were actually the largest and the biggest trees on earth, bigger than the Californian redwoods. A lot of them were taken out. Stringy gum and Tasmanian oak. Stringy gums are beautiful. They have all these like scribble marks on them, and all of this magnificent wood hold their seeds inside small hard capsules. So a fire will instantly trigger a massive drop of seeds to the newly fertilized ground. But I guess the heat is destroying a lot of the ground there as well, in the topsoil, if you will, and all of this. So the bright green buds that sprout spectacularly from the trunks of other eucalyptus in the aftermath of big fires are other kind of regeneration mechanisms, bursting through the scorched and blackened bark within weeks of blaze. And you see this all the time driving through areas that have had big fires. You can just see these bright green growth just spurting out of these black trees. It's really bizarre to see. You see it all the time. So at the center of it all through is the eucalypt. Because these trees do not just resist fire, they actively encourage it. They withstand fire, they need fire to some extent, they create fire. The leaves, bark don't decompose. They're highly, highly flammable. The eucalyptus trees, they explode. And on a hot day, you can smell the oil. So when you're in the Australian forest, you can smell the eucalyptus oil. And sometimes when you're camping, you're out in these large eucalyptus forests, it's actually the atmosphere is like blue and you can smell eucalyptus in the air. It's really amazing. So the bark and leaves of eucalyptus seem almost made to promote fire. Isn't this really interesting? Which is true. Some are known as stringyoy candle bark, long, easily lit strips. And I've seen these. They've got these long strips of bark that hang off the trees and loosely off their trunks. And once alight, they blaze up with a flammable canopy above, and they hit right above, carried by the wind, many kilometers ahead of fire to speed its advance. So very interesting, isn't it? Looking at how, in a way, these trees in Australia need fires to continue to survive. It's a really unique country in Australia, but not this, what we're seeing now. Not this. No, this is apocalyptic. It's too much, especially in places like Kangaroo Island. We have areas in this country that have just been, oh my God, it's so devastating, the fires, and you have vulnerable species on the verge of extinction, probably now will be extinct. I don't know if these figures are true, but they're talking about 500 million, animals are perishing in these fires. So, everything from little lizards right up to koalas and these kinds of things. It is really devastation, but this is a fire country, and these forests regenerate very quickly after fires, and they do happen. But this is a disaster waiting to happen. And as I have to bring back the terrible mismanagement of our forests, and this kind of waiting disaster that's happening. And now all these sleazy politicians like Vince and all these media hound dogs are rushing to the climate change gates to blame that. It's climate change. It's climate change now. It wasn't last summer or the summer before that. It's climate change now. So some unbelievable reports that I'm seeing coming out of Australia and around the world is they're basically now saying, get used to it. This is the new normal. That every year now, every summer, Australia should expect the very same thing. And I spoke to neighbours about this, and they're all saying bullshit. And that's what I'm seeing. The media is just bullshit, because that's what they're saying. They're basically getting up there now in the media, and you can find it everywhere, and they're saying, we better get used to this, because every summer we're going to get the same deal. Just suddenly, it didn't happen last year, the year before, last, like, 2018 or 2017 or 2015 or 2014 summers, and going back and back and back, it's happening now, and it's the new norm, so we should expect it to get worse and worse. It's just absolutely ridiculous. These people have no souls, and they're just lying to sell stories. So what were the worst bushfires in Australian history? We'd be looking at Black Saturday bushfires in Victoria in 2009. So that's the worst bushfires we've had up until now. 2009, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19. What is it? 10, over a decade, you know. So Black Saturday bushfires, pretty bad, but localized in Victoria, okay, in 2009, one of the worst Australian national disasters ever recorded. Ash Wednesday bushfires in South Australia and Victoria again, copped at 1983. And Black Tuesday bushfires in Tasmania in 1967. But Vince Albanese is saying that this is the new normal, and that we better expect this, every summer, and it's because of climate change. And that this is new to us in Australia because it's climate change. And as the guy said, radio guy said, we've been having fires in this country way back. I mean, look at this, 1967. You can look at the reports of weather in this country going way back in history. There's days of 45 and 50 degree heat and bushfires. It's been going on since the forming of this country. It's a natural part of this country, and it always will be. And but the Aboriginals, for example, knew how to manage this country. This country needs to be managed because there's such large tracts of forest as well. Let's have a look how much exactly, because I was looking at this the other day. You'd be looking at Australia having a total of 134 million hectares of forest, so equivalent to about 17% of Australia's landmass. Total forest area determined, this was around 2016-2017, so around 98% of native forests, so there'd be a lot of eucalypt native forests there. So most of it's native forest, so about 134 million hectares, and we've seen burned all up in this country with these fires, maybe about 5 or going on 6 now, I'd have to have a look. So there's a lot of forest in this country, and I was looking at some maps, and they're showing you, it looks like the entire country's on fire, but when you actually go in and you zoom into these fires, you can see how big these forested areas are, and where these, like, kind of fires are. I mean, there's just such massive expanses of forests in Australia. We have a lot of desert, but Australia's huge. It's just a massive country, and there's massive, massive, humongous expanses of forests in this country. And it's a real shame to see what's going on now, but there's also, I mean, how are they going to manage these forests? I mean, the Aboriginals did. You know, we can't do it. I don't know why that is. But we're not managing this properly. And, there's this disaster waiting to happen, of course. Whether this people might sort of apply into this and go, well, this is just a natural disaster waiting to happen because the forests have been, haven't been managed properly. And as the guy was saying before, you got all this stuff on the forest floors everywhere around Australia. You've got hot conditions, big winds, everything like this, which do create fire conditions, and it burns out. But this isn't normal. These fires aren't normal. We're under attack. These fires are just all around the country. Wherever you look, there's fires. And I think that there are these reports now of arsonists starting these fires, that a lot of them have been deliberately lit as well. And the weather plays into this as well. I think yesterday we just didn't get any rain. We got a few drops here in Sydney. I thought it was going to rain. It just didn't. And instead, we kind of got this dry lightning, and we got blackouts. What was interesting, in the space of 10 minutes, we got two lightning strikes. A guy near the beach, a surfer coming out of the water right where I live, got hit, and a woman got hit 10 minutes earlier. So the paramedics were saying, wow, you know, two people got hit by lightning in the space of 10 minutes. And there's all this dry lightning, and the power went out as right above your house, you know, and but just not much rain. And so they're sort of saying that these lightning are hitting the ground and starting these fires, but that doesn't add up either. I think a lot of these fires have been deliberately lit, and I think this is done with intent. Whether they've lost control, a lot of them, or they just don't care, well, that's we'll soon see. But it looks like they've been deliberately lit, and all this has built up to now. The government knew that this was all happening in our forest. The Greens locked it up for a reason. They're doing all this strange behavior. They're acting without, you know, they're acting very strange, locking everybody out, as that guy was saying. And then you got a recipe for a disaster, an explosion. But even if that were to happen naturally, it wouldn't account for this. This has been deliberately pushed as well. And I think this is, as I said, I think the only conclusion that I can really, really solidly come up with is they're using us, Australia, as an example to the world to scare the shit out of everybody and to bring in climate change. And that's all you're hearing now. So it's going on and on and on. And this clown actor, Vince Albanese, all he's doing is he's coming in doing what the current Prime Minister isn't. So you know, he's gonna ride that, and he's going to hopefully get into office over that. And then with all these climate pushing religious lunatics, they're going to push this in and get it actually done pretty soon, I think. So watch this space and see what happens. I was just looking at this today as well. I wasn't going to fit this in, but I think it's worth fitting in because it just shows you the not only the mismanagement and corruption going on with our land, but also our water. I think that's a huge one. There's so much corruption going on in this country with water and the theft of our water and stealing water and all of this. And there's this massive piece tract of land up in Queensland area called Cubby Station. And I found a little bit about this. There's a video here where they're flying over it. I think they predominantly grow sort of like cotton. And this is a huge, huge thing. I think I sent, if I just have a look here, where is it? Here it is, Cubby, Cubbie Station. It's the largest irrigation property in the Northern Hemisphere, in the Southern Hemisphere, sorry, I'm getting tired. It's located near Dirinbandi in southwest Queensland, Australia. The station comprises 93,000 hectares, or about 230,000 acres, and is operated by CS Agriculture, a joint venture between Macquarie Infrastructure and Real Assets, MRA, and all of this. So it's this massive kind of station up there in Queensland. And it's basically they're growing cotton and stuff like this, but it's predominantly owned, it says here, the investors, and it's predominantly owned by Chinese investors. So, and these massive kind of textile manufacturers and stuff like that all have these this push here. So this is like Chinese involvement in these massive stations up there where they're growing all this cotton on Australian land, I guess, using us and then sending it all back to China and making cheap clothes and then sending it back around the world and to us, and we buy it back, you know. And anyway, this basically, in a nutshell, what they're doing is they're siphoning water from the Murray Darling and all of this, all these basins, all these like waterways, huge waterways that are around these areas. They siphon the water out for themselves. And they keep it there because we all know how much water cotton needs. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable what's going on in this country. You just see these politicians, this government, don't give a shit about the people. They just sell everything out. It's just so much corruption going on in clear daylight. We need a massive revolt and revolution in this country to take this country back, or we're just doomed. And here we have these foreign bloody Chinese invaders, because that's what they are, just stealing all this water and everybody down for their farms and their agriculture and their cotton or their dairy farms or whatever they're growing or producing are getting shafted here. So there's this like water wars going on in Australia where all our water's being stolen and taken elsewhere and used for other things and other irrigation practices. But we're all, as Australians, getting screwed, and our farmers are getting screwed, and the Australian government is helping to screw them because they're criminal liars and they're scam artists. It's all a con, folks. They're just a con. They call themselves a government and politicians. They're not. They're just actors and they're con artists. And China own their asses. And it's really disgusting. And so, you know, no one's getting their share. And if I could just find the little video here, there's a guy flying over this massive property in a helicopter. Here it is here. So just a recent video, an Australian Holocaust by the Crow House. I think Max Egan there. I'll just play a little bit of what he says, introducing the Cubby Farm debacle up there in Queensland, where I said these Chinese are just stealing our water for their cotton farms when we should be really growing hemp and stuff like this, even, or Australian cotton with Australian jobs and Australian farms, and keeping all this industry in this country and making all the clothes here if we can. Setting up a new manufacturing industry in this country would be great, wouldn't it? You know, but you're just told it can never happen because China do that bullshit. Kick them out. We don't need them. We don't want them. Let's do it here. We've got the resources, but we've got the know-how. We've got everything we need. Anything that you used to buy in Australia was magnificent. You know, used to buy Australian, you buy Australian made stuff, you know, they're all moving offshore and moving in the Australian and American dream, as they say in comedies, is made in China. You know, but I remember, you know, anything that you used to buy in Australia, Australian made, was always fantastically built and made and always lasted a long time. We can make stuff here. We can do anything we want here. We can grow what we want. We can have our own country, our own land. And it's just being stolen away and siphoned away by these vampires, and our government are allowing to happen, and we keep voting them in and out. And we've got this Stockholm syndrome, as I keep saying, and we keep relying on them and we keep believing in them when they're utter criminals, and they're just stabbing us in the back day after day and day after day. They just stab and stab and stab us in the back because they're owned, you know, and... as I said before, you know, I just don't know what it's going to take for the Australian people, an uprising, a massive uprising in this country. Will it ever happen? I mean, will we see this kind of situation in Australia where people get really, really angry? Like you're seeing in France and you're seeing in Chile and you're seeing in other countries around the world where the people are taking to the streets to say enough is enough. And as I said before, are we going to buy into climate change after all of this starts to settle down? We've still got the chance of big fires merging on the Victorian and New South Wales border to create these huge fires. You know, we've got dangerous conditions continuing towards the end of this week. You know, I just want this to go away like we all do. You know, we've absolutely had enough. We don't want to see any more burning. Hopefully we can get some control here, and God bless those firefighters and everyone out there helping. But you know, what's it going to take after this? Are people going to just sit around and sit on their hands and just take this, or is something going to happen? Is this the prod? Is it, you know, we've been, as Australian people, we've just been poked into this corner. I mean, when you put an animal in a cage and you just poke it and poke it and poke it, it's got to fight back, right? I mean, that's what's happening to us here. I mean, we're just in this corner and we're being prodded and poked, and we're being used and abused and stepped on and humiliated now. And you know, when are the Australian people going to just not give a stuff about what other people think and what the world think and stand up and take this country back? Is it possible? Will we see it in this country? I don't know. But in this little clip here that I'll play now, you can see what's going on in Queensland there. They're just stealing the water on these massive properties, on these massive Chinese owned places, you know, and they're moving in on our land and they're stealing all this water. It's really disgusting, but I'll just play it now so you can get a little bit of a better picture.
People are pissed off, folks, and it's no surprise because this whole thing has been done by design. You know, these politicians have stolen our water. They pretended they can sell it to other countries, and it's all against the law. It doesn't matter what they write on paper, claiming that it's legal for them to do this. The fact is that they're full of shit. None of this is legal, folks. The Constitution says there shall be no trade on water. There shall be no trade or tariff on the responsible use of water, and there shall be no restriction on the responsible use of water. This is not responsible use of water. This is criminal. And the dams out there at Cubby Farm and these other places that are withholding this water need to be broken down immediately, and this water needs to be released to the people, irrespective of what anybody wrote on paper.
It stops the river.
Yep, there. See there?
Yeah.
That's where they put an earth bank across it. So it stops it there, banks it up, fills up that big channel, and then goes down there.
And the scariest thing is it's completely legal.
Yeah. G'day everyone, Jeremy Buckingham here. I'm with Farmer Kate McBride. We're flying over Cubby Station in Western Queensland. And it's absolutely vast. A huge irrigation enterprise out here. In wet years, they'd be growing cotton. But it is absolutely monumental in its scale. What's your reaction to it being, Kate?
Well, you hear so much about Cubby, and it is just absolutely massive. I mean, we hear how big it is, but to actually see it with your own eyes is just... It's heartbreaking to see that this water should be going down the Darling. And it's affecting the amount of floods that we get. It's filling our floodplains down where we are, and it's all for corporate mega farms like Cubby.
All the way down there. It's 75 k's. It's just enormous.
You see there, she mentions corporate mega farms. That's what I was trying to explain to Corey. It's not about, ranchers growing meat here. This is corporate-owned, Chinese-owned, foreign-invested mega farms. Foreign investment. Mega, mega farms in this country. We're being sold out, and they're just 75 kilometers, this inland sea, siphoning all the water. Massive river systems taking all the water.
That's what it's doing. It's stopping the Murray-Darling Basin, the heart of the Murray-Darling Basin, reaching the lower Darling, and it's a real catastrophe.
We have seen a huge amount of cotton being grown already over places that we've flown. The myth that they're trying to spin, saying there's no cotton being grown up here, it is being grown. It's not right. We need embargoes to be put in place because that water needs flow down the Darling River. I mean, Tilpa is dry, the Menindee Lakes are almost empty, and the lower Darling is seeing huge fish kills. We need to put an end to this. We are in a drought. Up here is in a drought. We need to save that water for the communities and the animals and everything else that rely upon it lower down.
Well, Kate's exactly right. The cotton industry are telling everyone there's no cotton being grown. Well, we've seen it at Gundawindi. We've seen it at St. George. Big cotton crops. Irrigation storage is full. We've seen it with our own eyes. The truth is, the cotton is sucking the heart out of the Murray-Darling Basin and adding to the catastrophe that we're seeing all the way down to South Australia, and especially in the Lower Darling and the Menindee. It's a debacle, and we've got to take responsibility for it.
So you can hear by that, the dreadful mismanagement as well of Australia's water being used again, used and abused by China, and these shocking companies that just think they're above the law because our government are just stooges and easy to bend over and screw as long as they get their paychecks. Just a bunch of scumbags, all of them. Really sad to see, and so just siphoning our water, using it for their own cotton growing, sending it back to China, making their clothes and selling it back to us, just using us unbelievable. And we can see here the mismanagement of our water, the abuse of Australian water, the abuse of our farmlands and Australian citizens, abuse and mismanagement of our forests and national parks where they're not managed properly, creating these terrible fire conditions. This is deliberate act as well, so these were deliberately started, as I said. And then you've got this wannabe Prime Minister Vince Albanese getting up there blaming it all on climate change, not talking about our water, not talking about any of these subjects. It's really disgusting to see how we've been sold out in this way. And as I said, nothing short of a massive revolt in this country will fix anything. We're really, as Australians, need to wake up and see that we've been absolutely screwed for so long. And what's it going to take? What's it going to take? Because this is really, looking at that video and others, they're just stealing our water, folks. They're just stealing it and screwing all our farmers, screwing this whole country and taking it for themselves. And just, it's really disgusting to see just these mega, corporations coming in and just shitting all over us, basically just screwing us and using us until and abusing us until there's nothing left, and then they just move on to something else. They just simply don't care, and it's just horrible. And this current assault on this country, these fires, is just nothing short of just devastating. We'll never be the same again, you know. There's just no way. I mean, there's just we've been obliterated here, and they're still continuing. They're not gonna go away just yet. I think there's more horror to come in this country with fires, and these mega fires that are still burning, they're out of control. What are they going to do? I don't know what's going to happen this week, in the coming days either. It's still a very frightening and very fragile scenario happening in this country. Really unbelievable. Just going to go over this article. I've saved so many, but it's a really good one, I think, from Technocracy News and Trends. So much to cover, and things I don't even post on the website, but really interesting anyway. And it just talks about here the UN Agenda 2030, a recipe for global socialism, and talked about this as well, what's coming for Australia and why these fires are happening, or a big reason behind why these fires are happening, and why you have these puppets or muppets up there like Vince Albanese. Because he's going to align himself with the United Nations, and it's all going to come through. It's going to siphon through to us, and we're going to be used as, we're being made an example of in Australia indeed. And I thought this was an important article. I've read others out and gone through Agenda 2030, but amazingly, talking to friends and some people who, I have close friends who push climate change and think that the fires are because of climate change, and it's getting warmer and hotter here. And then when I say, but it's been warm and hot forever, I mean, you know, you can go back and have a look at weather stats that you can get online from government websites showing the weather in the old days in Australia, and it was boiling hot and there was fires. It doesn't matter. They've been told by the media that there's climate change, and that's what they believe. So what can you do? It's really unbelievable. There's just the climate change is now, though. It's 2019 and 2020 only. The climate change has decided to kick in now, and that's why we're getting these brutal fires, the worst that Australia's ever seen and the world's ever seen. A catastrophe in Australia, an absolute catastrophe in this country. We're getting it because it's just the climate has decided that it's going to go into real climate change now, and it's happening now. It's absolutely ridiculous. Anyway, looking at this article, just to read through this, it's an analysis of the UN's 2030 agenda from the New American. So interesting. And so the United Nations, and it's mostly autocratic member regimes have big plans for your life, your country and your children and your world. And those plans are not limited to the coercive climate agreement recently concluded in Paris. So this would be going back a little bit, but a good document. None the same. So while the establishment media in the United States was hyping ISIS and football and, of course, global warming, virtually every national government and dictatorship on the planet met at the 70th Annual General Assembly at the UN headquarters in New York to adopt a draconian 15-year master plan for the planet. Top globalists such as former NATO chief Xavier Solana, a socialist, are celebrating the plan, which the summit approved as the next great leap forward. Yes, the old campaign slogan of the Chinese Communist Party. Let me see if I can, just turn myself up a little bit here before I continue. Yes, one. So, big stuff, man. Jeez, hard to, sort of squinting. Hope that got in. The agenda, perhaps the single most striking feature of Agenda 2030, I have to widen this a little bit, of Agenda 2030 is the practically undisguised roadmap to global socialism and corporatism and fascism. As countless analysis have pointed out, to begin with, consider the agenda's goal 10, which calls on the UN national governments and every person on earth to reduce inequality within and among countries. To do that, the agreement continues, will only be possible if wealth is shared and income equality is addressed. As the UN document also makes clear, national socialism to combat inequality domestically is not enough. International socialism is needed to battle inequality even among countries by 2030, ensure that all men and women, in particular the poor and the vulnerable, have equal rights to economic resources, the document demands. In smaller terms, Western taxpayers should prepare to be fleeced so that their wealth can be redistributed internationally as their own economies are cut down to size by big governments. Of course, as has been the case for generations, most of the wealth extracted from the productive sector will be redistributed to the UN and third world regimes, not the victims of those regimes, impoverished largely through domestic socialist totalitarian policies imposed by the same corrupt regimes to be propped up with more Western aid under Agenda 2030. Wealth redistribution alone, however, will not be enough. Governments must also seize control of means of production, either directly or through fascist-style mandates. We commit to making fundamental changes in the way that our societies produce and consume goods and services, the document states. It also says that governments, international organizations, the business sector, and other non-state actors and individuals must contribute to changing unsustainable consumption and production patterns to move towards more sustainable patterns of consumption and production. In plain English, the Agenda 2030 document is claiming that today's consumption and production patterns are unsustainable, so we'll need to get by with less. They're gonna make you eat this cricket powder and bugs, and say goodbye to your long showers, and bringing in, you know, we're gonna have water restrictions. I've been talking about this. We're gonna have to get by with much less, and they're gonna force it on you. You're gonna be taxed more. You're gonna have to pay if you want a little bit more than what you have, and you're gonna have to be wealthy. How much less? It would be hard to find a more clear and concise assessment than that offered by the late Maurice Strong, the recently deceased Canadian billionaire and longtime UN environmental guru who led the 1992 Earth Summit in a pre-Earth Summit document. It is clear that current lifestyles and consumption patterns of the affluent middle class involving high meat intake, consumption of large amounts of frozen and convenience foods, ownership of motor vehicles and numerous electrical appliances, home and workplace air conditioning, expensive suburban housing are not sustainable. They don't want you to have a bath. They don't want you to have a house. They don't want you to have a car. They don't want you to have a front and back lawn. See? It's not sustainable. While they live in the lap of luxury and eat, you know, meat by the bucket load and travel all around the world in their jets and travel in their luxury cars and just live it up, drinking, $10,000 bottles of Plonk, you know, with their gold and their you know, suits worth thousands of dollars. They're constantly eating and drinking and traveling and consuming while you do this. See? In truth, such lifestyles and consumption patterns are sustainable so long as the freedom that makes prosperity possible is not destroyed in the name of achieving sustainability. The UN and the environmental lobby claim that we must get by with less because there are now too many people on the planet consuming too many resources, but this rationale for accepting UN-imposed scarcity is patently false. Of course, the promoters of Agenda 2030 would claim that rather than impoverish us, the global regime they envision would take good care of us through universal health coverage, for instance. One of the targets for Goal 3, ensuring healthy lives and well-being, is achieve universal health coverage, including vaccines for all. So there you go, right there, yeah. Achieve universal health coverage, including mandatory vaccinations for everybody. You just won't be able to have a child, folks. You just won't. If you know, it's coming to the point now where if you're a mum and a dad and you're pregnant, you will not be able to go ahead with this child without it being vaccinated. You will be forced. If you're even allowed to have kids, but that's looking further into the future. But I'm telling you, it's coming where your child will have to be vaccinated because of these new laws that are going to be coming in. They're going to be coming in and they're going to be through the doctors and through the hospitals. And that will be one of the requirements your newborn gets vaccinated through the full schedule. Universal access to mental health. God. It's unbelievable, isn't it? Then, you know, universal access to mental health. Yeah, of course, because they're going to make you mentally ill. They're going to make you sick and mentally ill, and they want you to have access to their healthcare system so they can make money off you because you're sick. Isn't it unbelievable? Along with sexual and reproductive healthcare services. See, they want to control if you have a child or not. So that's what that means. And they want everybody on earth to just be screwing each other, living in this kind of dystopian wild west where we all run around and screw each other and have naked orgies with men and women, doesn't matter. Whatever sex, have sex with animals if you want, as long as you don't have kids. You can be as sick and twisted and demented as you want, as long as you don't have kids. That's what they want. And it is talking about these strategies and demands in regards to sexual health. So the family unit being smashed and smashed down till there's nothing left. It is worth noting that mass-murdering Soviet dictator Vladimir Lenin made clear that controlled health care is the keystone of socialism. The United Nations obviously agrees, and though he may not call it socialism, Obama, this is going back to Obama, undoubtedly also views government control of health care as key. Indeed, enactment of Obamacare could be viewed as a great leap forward by the United States toward implementation of a key component of Agenda 2030. Obama did a lot of these things before he left office as well. So that's a really interesting document, isn't it? When you read that, it's like, that's why I think it's interesting to read it out. It's really interesting stuff, I think. It all ties in, doesn't it? It's amazing. Thanks to members for sending me through some links. You can leave any links and video links and stuff in the members chat room, and I can go over them and post them as well. There's so much out there to go over, so I always enjoy reading them. This is a great one as well, that I was sent with so much information on this. So I couldn't go over it at all. 500 scientists tell UN there is no climate emergency. So on the same day that Greta Thunberg made an impassioned speech to the UN about her fears of a climate emergency, 500 scientists sent a registered letter to the UN Secretary General, I've looked into this, stating that there is no climate emergency whatsoever, and climate policy should be designed to benefit the lives of people. And so there's a link here to read all of that. I can put that up as well. Confessions of a Climate Scientist: the global warming hypothesis is an unproven one, by Dr. Matatoka Nakamuri, which is a really good one. I've seen this around too. So in climate research and modeling, we should recognize that we are dealing with a coupled, non-linear, chaotic system, and therefore that the long-term prediction of future climate states is not possible. The temperature forecasting models trying to deal with the intractable complexities of the climate are no better than toys or Mickey Mouse mockeries of the real world. The global surface mean temperature change data no longer have any scientific value and are nothing more than a propaganda tool for the public. This is just some of the stuff from this that I'm going through, so there's just too much to read. I can put the document up with the podcast link, but really interesting stuff for people to read, because there's no science behind this climate change propaganda. But you're going to see it a lot in Australia, and if you're in Australia, you just mark my words, you just watch. You're going to get all these media nincompoops and this Vince Albanese and all these politicians and all these people up there pushing that these fires in Australia were caused by climate change, and it's coming, and it's coming in bucket loads. Get ready, folks, strap in, because you're in for a wild ride. You're not going to believe what you see, and it's going to go on and on and on, and it's going to be an avalanche of it. There's going to be a tidal wave of this propaganda coming at us, believe me. So interesting days ahead. This is another good one. Just reading through this, the term climate change, as used by environmental activists, is an Orwellian abuse of the language. Climate change is largely a natural phenomenon. Day follows night, winter follows summer, and long ice age periods follow shorter interglacial periods. So who can argue with it? The more precise and meaningful title for the activist climate change is the cumbersome anthropogenic global warming thesis. Full presentation here. I will put this document up. So it's with so many great interesting articles here that you can just go through in one go. It's really amazing. Like this one, hottest summer in Australia was 1938 and 1939, by Jennifer Marhasi. I'll put this one up. This is really interesting. So the hottest summer in Australia ever recorded was in 1938 and 39. Looking at that there. So this last summer has been hot in Australia, but was it the hottest ever? Summer 80 years ago was arguably as hot, if not even hotter. Back then, more ferocious bushfires burnt larger areas. Isn't this incredible? I haven't read this before. Yet Australia's environment ministers recently claimed that this summer's bushfires as a consequence of climate change. So this goes back. This is an older document, so very interesting. We've been going on this for a while. I grew up with stories from my late father of terrible bushfires, and I've heard this from my grandparents as well. Anyone can ask them. Infernos. Back in 1939, the Black Friday bushfires destroyed four times the area of farmland and forest as the devastating February 2009 fires, and 20 times as much as burnt this last summer. Ash from that bushfire fell as far away as New Zealand. That's interesting. I think what we're going through now is, you know, a bushfire season and terrible bushfires, but these are deliberately lit as well. This is not a natural occurrence. I think they're wanting to prove a point here, you know, to bring this in. I think they've had enough, and I think they need to bring in this global warming religion, as I've been saying. So I think they've really beefed these fires up, and I think they're going to milk it all the way. Interesting documents coming out of this about climate change that you can just read through and through and through. A massive expansion of Greenland ice is taking place. In Greenland snow, so a massive expansion of Greenland ice is taking place. At the end of the 2018 season, 31st of August, 517 billion tons more snow fell than the snow and ice that melted into the sea. Oh my God, 517 billion tons of snow filled. The aggregate level of snow was 150 billion tons above the average for 1981 and 2010. And you can read all of that story there. I'm just going through them quickly. It talks a lot about here of about electricity supplies and electricity costs and how all that's going to probably change as well. So they're talking also here, which is too much to go in, about wind power and these wind farms as well, which is just destruction and more of it. Let me go through. In 2005, Australia emitted 208 million tons MT of CO2, equivalent greenhouse gases, to achieve a 26 to 28% reduction. We must cut emissions to an average of 444 MT due to accounting changes to land use and forestry. Australia could claim a fall of 104 MT of CO2 from 2005 to 2012. The emissions from cutting down trees were no longer to be accounted immediately, but could be written off over longer periods of years. A most interesting change was for forest fires to be treated as acts of God and not counted in national emissions. An external use issue, sorry, is whether God is anthropogenic. Climate change news. Yeah, sorry, folks, just going through a lot of this. So interesting. Amazing. You can get a lot of news on the latest temperature data and storms and hurricane frequencies as well with this, and just click on them and have a look. So I will post it if I have time as well, if I can try and put this up tonight. Talking here, of course, about the record cold in America, brought temperatures as low as minus 44 C in North Dakota, frozen sharks in Massachusetts, and iguanas falling from the trees in Florida. Al Gore blames global warming, citing one scientist to the effect that this is exactly what we should expect from the climate crisis. That's what they're saying in Australia. We should expect these fires every year now, this bad. Others beg to differ. Kevin Trentberth of the America's National Center for Atmospheric Research insists that winter storms are a manifestation of winter, not climate change. It's pretty cool. So it goes on and on here, folks. I can't go through it all. 2 leading USA scientists here have acclaimed a little-known book for its remarkable ability to show everyday people, not just scientists, the wonder of the climate system and how carbon dioxide is not driving modern climate change. The accolades are from world-famous physicist Emeritus Professor William Happer, who has advised President Trump on climate change, Princeton University, and Dr. Willie Soon, senior researcher there, and it goes on. You can read that as well. And there's video links and everything here. So many. Wow. Yeah, it just gives you a real important, you know, blueprint here of all this climate change nonsense and propaganda. The Obama administration's climate strategy fabricated a social cost of carbon value at $36 per ton of CO2 and involved tightening vehicle fuel economy standards. The Clean Power Plan, designed to cut by 2030 carbon dioxide emissions from electric power generation plants by 30% below their 2005 levels, and a moratorium on federal coal leasing. President Trump's budget proposes a 31% reduction, $2.5 billion for EPA, eliminating most of the agency's climate change programs, including the regulations to control CO2 emissions from power plants, funding of international climate change programs, climate change research, and the Energy Star voluntary certification program for energy efficient products. The Department of Energy has a $2 billion cut in programs to promote carbon-free energy technologies. U.S. Congress to investigate Shonky climate report. The United States Congress will investigate America's National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, NOAA, following revelations by a senior climate scientist that the government agency faked evidence to claim that global temperatures had soared over the past 20 years, contradicting early evidence of a 20-year pause. The NOAA report, which was strongly endorsed by the former Obama administration just before the recent Paris Climate Conference, was used to justify the conference demand for continuing cuts in global carbon dioxide emissions. Just shonky, isn't it? Just unbelievable rubbish. Just making up what they want, you know? Really incredible. You know, you might not have read a lot of these or seen a lot of them, but it's just incredible. I mean, anyone who's pushing climate change, you could give them this. You know? This is stuff I've posted before. Great stuff from Jennifer Marahasi from 2017. Got a bunch of stuff there, which is really good. So at the beginning of each year of New Year, we are encouraged to make some new resolution or other. The idea is usually to seek to improve on our current situation through a worthy intent. However, intent can be the enemy of truth, because too often it provides a goal without the discomfort of proper analysis or even honest reflection. Also, at the beginning of each new year, the Australian Bureau of Meteorology publishes their annual climate statement. For at least the past decade, the intent has been to emphasize that the earth is warming and it's our fault. So that's what's happening in Australia. Of course, there is no one place in Australia where the mean temperature of the continent can be measured. So the Bureau relies on a reconstruction to determine how hot last year was relative to the historical record. Their method, however, is very subjective. They neither simply combine all the temperature series and just provide us with the overall average for each year, nor do they choose a subset based on the most complete and longest records. Rather, they have a somewhat contrived method, full of intent and both truth science. I've written about this extensively, but my concerns are dismissed, not on the basis of rational argument, but on the authority of the institution that is the Bureau of Meteorology. So really interesting stuff, too much to go through. If we, just like this bit, it's important. They talk about the Borka Collie to Tasmania, just going through this, folks, the hottest years, because it's really important. Well, I'll just read this. When all 1,655 maximum temperature series for Australia are simply combined and truncated to begin in 1910, thus avoiding problems of equipment change associated with Stevenson screen installations. I put that up on the CRAS files if you want to read that as well. The hottest years are 1980, 1914, 1919, 1915, and 1940, respectively. A linear trend line through this reconstruction gives a rate of warming of 0.4 degrees Celsius per century, less than half that reported by the Bureau. Unbelievable how they just make stuff up, isn't it? I'm still working up my reconstruction for the entire continent based on just the longest and highest quality temperature series. And all the links are here and everything. I'll put this one up as well so people can take what they want. Late last year, I had a book chapter co-authored with John Abbott and published as well, which shows historical temperature trends just for Southeast Australia from 1887, based on the longest continuous highest quality temperature series just for this region. In the chapter, we conclude that temperature trends for Southeast Australia are best described as showing statistically significant cooling, yes, cooling of 1.5 degrees Celsius from 1887 to 1949, followed by warming of nearly 2 degrees Celsius from 1950 to 2013. The warmest year in this reconstruction is 2007, followed very closely by 1914. A colleague at the University of Tasmania, Jacob Locke, has compared our southeast reconstruction with a reconstruction based on all 289 temperature series for Victoria, but only from 1910. There is a very high degree of synchrony between the reconstructions through. When all the raw data is simply combined, Vlock's approach, the hottest years are all the earlier part of the record, 1914 being the hottest, followed by 1919, 1921, 1938, 1961, and then 2014. Considering land temperatures across Australia, 1914 was almost certainly the hottest year across southern Australia, and 1915 the hottest across northern Australia, or at least northeast Australia, but recent years come awfully close between. There has been an overall strong warming trend since at least 1960, albeit nothing catastrophic. If we consider hottest months rather than whole years, then the hottest January, perhaps 1896, when people were evacuated from places like Bourke in Western Australia and Western New South Wales, Bourke. I read about this a while ago. People had to be evacuated because it was so bad. The hottest summer was perhaps in 1938 and 39. At Ruther Glen in Victoria, this summer was a full 2 Celsius hotter than 10 most recent summers, including the last summer of 2015 and 16. And indeed, there is nothing unprecedented about recent temperatures in Australia. Rather, there is a compelling evidence that the Bureau of Meteorology remodels historical temperatures data until it conforms to the human-caused global warming paradigm. Wow. One of my New Year's Eve resolutions is to spend more time understanding why this is so and why we choose to have such a negative and contrived relationship with this important aspect of our natural history, the historical temperature record for Australia. There you go, showing people being cooked in the 1930s. And how the Bureau of Australian Meteorology are remodeling historical temperature data to conform with global warming propaganda. Isn't that really interesting? What a bunch of mongrels, huh? Unbelievable, and they're getting away with it. They're lying about everything, folks. They're lying about everything, and they're telling you that it's global warming so they can bring in this new system to redistribute wealth and rip you off. You know, and drain your pockets. It's just incredible. Anyway, that was just a tiny bit to go through, but I think it's worth kind of reading that stuff because I know people are busy and it's hard to find a lot of this, but that's just a little bit of interesting information and to cover tonight. So, and as we try to sort of piece all this together and connect this puzzle and find out what's going on, but I think I'm on the right path. And when you read this stuff, it just blows you away, and you turn on the media. I don't even want to turn it on, but you turn it on now every day. There's just these talking heads up there going on about global warming and the fires. I think maybe, hopefully, in Australia, we're not going to buy this, and people aren't going to buy this. Hopefully, they'll be insulted when they hear this, but hopefully, they're not going to buy this whole global warming rubbish after these fires. But, you know, we can see what's happening with Trump and Iran. The illusion continues. They're distracting everybody with the Golden Globes and Ricky's speech, and then you've got Trump assassinating a general in Iran. It's all an illusion, folks. It's all mass distraction. That's what it's all about. It's all a con. The people running all of this are doing all of this, and the presidents and the prime ministers and the generals and all of this and the people on the TV, it's all just a game. It's just this permanent mass distraction going on, continually getting you to look away in the wrong direction, while they stab you in the back and they go with their master plan. And this is right in our face now in Australia. And if we let this go through, and we let these mongrels with all their money dictate what we can and can't do and bring in these changes through Agenda 2030 because of climate change in this country, then our lives are never going to be the same, and everything's going to change. Everything's going to change. Farmers think they have it tough now. Man, you know, people think the things are restrictive now and we're wrapped up in red tape and we live in a nanny state in this country. Man, it's just going to get so bad if we let this go through. So I'm wondering what's going to happen and how people are going to react. And so you can see tonight I've already gone way over time. I was only going to do half an hour and I've done double that. Just going through all this kind of stuff. I've got so much in my browser I haven't even gone through it. And I feel like it's important to read all this climate change stuff and all this information, even if it's from years ago, because it just adds up and you can just kind of slowly get this picture and see what they're doing. I was talking ages about what Vince Albanese was going to do and what these Australian politicians were going to do, and it's all falling into place. It's all happening, and we can see the agenda starting to fire itself up now because of the fires. The fires haven't finished. They're still burning. There's a big fire on the Victorian border and the New South Wales border that could meet if we get bad conditions this week and create a mega fire. So really frightening scenario. They're burning out of control. They haven't got control of them. This is still going. This is still a disaster in this country. It's still happening. And so it's going to be, you know, I don't know how long these fires could burn, even if they do start to control them. But in the months and months coming up, as we go forward, you just wait to see what they start talking about and what we see. And we'll see if it's this and what I'm talking about and what we're thinking. If they start bringing it in, and then we can start to analyze that and talk about it, because we have to be aware and we have to tell people we love and those who are connected with us and on board and their kids and our kids. We have to inform them about this so they've got a head full of knowledge. Otherwise, they'll just go down ignorant and not knowing, and you don't want to do that. That's humiliating. If you go down, you want to go down knowing and fighting and being aware. That's strength and that's honor and that takes courage. And so we just got to keep learning and keep moving forward. Anyway, I'll plug out. And again, thanks for the members for plugging in. Your support helps me to continue this. My website's pretty big. It's one of the biggest consumers over on the hosting there. So on the servers, it's a big consuming website. It's going to cost me a little bit more to keep running this year. The members help me to do all that and keep a website like this up and running and keep me talking here. So, you know, just think about that. You help keep this up and running, which is great news. And because there's not many people talking about this in Australia. So this is real independent media here. I will plug out now from Sydney, Australia. It's Tuesday the 7th January, Tuesday night here in Sydney, Australia. Thanks for listening. Thanks for the members again. And we'll continue. Well, pretty soon. we'll see how we go. When I learn more, I'll just plug in and go over it. That's the best I can do. That's the best I can do. So much to cover. I will say again, any members want to come on and have a chat with me, do so. If you have any articles or interesting things or links or anything you want to share, please do put it in the members chat room there. It's a great little chat room. Just plug away there, or contact me, crasmembers@yahoo.com, and I'll go through that and put it up. Great to be here, great chatting. I hope you enjoy this. Let me know any thoughts and what you thought of the what you think of the shows, and any new information, please send it through. Till next time.